I'd ask you to please turn with me to Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, to set this psalm in its true context, we need to read also from 1 Samuel 21 and from verse 10. 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10, and there we read these words. It's the account of David fleeing from Saul and then again from Achish. Then David arose and fled that day from before Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of him to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s'?" Now David took these words to heart, and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them. He pretended madness in their hands. He scratched on the doors of the gate, and let his saliva fall down on his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Look, you see the man is insane. Why have you brought him to me? Have I need of a madman, that you have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his fathers heard it, they went down there to him, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. So that is the context in which this psalm was written. Now, we all know that fear can do very strange things to us. It can cause us to behave irrationally sometimes and unwisely. Now, just prior to this event in David going to King Achish, king of Gath, he had been given the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, by Ahimelech the priest. Now, you remember how David had slain Goliath, and this sword had been kept as a memory, and David had been given that sword. So he's got the sword of Goliath, and he'd slain Goliath, and now fear had so gripped him that he runs into the land of the Philistines with the very evidence of his slaying of Goliath with him. So it does not require much imagination to discern that David had fled from one danger straight into another. And realizing that the servants of Achish were now aware of who he was, he decided on an action to escape. So he changes his behavior, as we read, and acts before the king as a madman. He is sent away and thus escapes to Cave Adullam. And it is in the cave that he wrote this psalm. It's in the cave that he reflects upon the situation and his life. And in this psalm, David records how he had learned from his experience of his folly and God's faithfulness. His folly and God's faithfulness. And so Psalm 34 is written by David to praise, to magnify the Lord for his goodness and his mercy towards those who trust in him. As in Psalm 56, when David says, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in the Lord." Now, as you know, the fear of man, it brings a snare. But trust in the Lord will bring you freedom. It will bring you liberty. It will bring you peace in your heart. So the first point that arises out of the context of the psalm is that how God can take a mess that we make and form it into a message. Because this is what happened here. David had made a mess, really, in his witness, in his testimony. He had been overwhelmed with fear, and yet God so overruled it and sanctified that experience to him that out of it comes Psalm 34. So it's wonderful to see and be encouraged in your own life when you make a bit of a mess of something, that God can take that very situation and sanctify it to your life and turn it around, that through it you have a testimony of God's faithfulness and form it into a message. God can even use our folly and turn it into something helpful if we humble ourselves before God in the situation and we learn from it. This is the great need of the hour, that we as a nation, we humble ourselves before God and we learn, what is God saying to the nation? What is God saying to the world in this situation? When something goes seriously wrong in the country, how often do we hear these words, lessons will be learned? But because of pride and because of arrogance, these lessons are not properly learned, and the problem often reoccurs. But here we have a different testimony. David, in humility, is in the cave of Adullam. He reflects and moves from his folly to God's faithfulness. Because he does this in humility, as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he can now write words with eternal value and truth contained for our benefit this morning. Let me do a very, very brief overview of the psalm. We can see verses 1 to 3 is David's praise, and David gives constant reason for his praise. God is the reason for his constant praise. His soul boasts in the Lord. His objective is to magnify the Lord. The purpose is to glorify God so that the humble, I trust those of us here this morning, we will unite together in praise and exaltation of the name of the Lord. Verses 4 to 7 speak about David's experience. I sought the Lord, and thus, as a result, he experienced the blessing of a prayer hearing and a delivering God. The enlightenment of truth and hope came as he sought the Lord. And with the looking came the blessing of assurance. I want to notice a testimony, though. In verse 6, he said, this poor man cried. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Brethren, there are times when we feel like David. We are like the poor man. But God has allowed this in our life. He brings us and he humbles us. He takes away all the props around us. And we just cry out to God as the poor man. And it is such a cry that the Lord hears. This is David's experience. And notice the blessing of crying out to the Lord. He is saved from all his troubles. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, he had been delivered from the Philistine captivity, but from all his troubles points to a greater deliverance, friends. This speaks to us of the power and the completeness of salvation in the Messiah, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All our sin is cleansed. We're delivered from all the troubles of our sin, ultimately. And heaven will be that ultimate deliverance from all our troubles, if we truly trust alone in Jesus Christ. And David, in his experience here on earth, testifies of his belief that the Lord does protect those who fear him. And the protection that he is speaking about in its fullest sense is the protection of the soul before the Lord. The providential deliverance of the Lord is mentioned in verse 7, where God uses even angels to protect his people. Now, verses 9 to 14, as we hasten through this, we have David's instruction. David's instruction. He says to us, fear the Lord, seek the Lord, keep your tongue, depart from evil, seek peace and pursue it. And then in 15 to 22, we have David's teaching. We have God's divine vision and hearing, the hidden face of God against those who rebel and do evil, the Lord's hearing and deliverance to those who call upon him, reiterated again, the Lord's nearness to the brokenhearted and the contrite ones, the Lord's provision, looking prophetically to the Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross, and the reason for the destruction and desolation of the wicked, being their evil. Evil shall slay the wicked. That is the reason that people who rebel against God ultimately find their destination in hell if unrepented. It's the evil that has sent them there in terms of their responsibility. But the Lord's redemption and promise to those who trust him. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. So in 22 verses, there's quite a bit there to lay hold of, isn't there? So many precious truths, so many precious encouragements. But this morning I want to look specifically at verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, the first thing I want us to see from this beautiful verse is the warm and encouraging exhortation from God's servant David to come to the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, here is a man who is speaking from experience. He has proved the Lord to be good. And there are those of you here this morning, you have proved the Lord to be good. And you can say in your testimony to the unbeliever, the seeker, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We've proved him to be faithful. We've proved him to be a righteous God. Oh, this is the testimony of the children of God, as the hymn writer penned once, life through many changes go, his love. No variation knows. So here in verse 8, David instructs us to taste and see. This is to invite us to experience the goodness of God. Now, the illustration of taste is common to our understanding of the experience, as you know, of eating and drinking. Now, one of the symptoms of this current virus is a loss of taste. This must be very unnerving to those afflicted by this. To drink what we cannot taste. To eat what we cannot taste. Because taste is something which makes the eating and the drinking pleasurable. You know, when we've had something pleasurable to eat, we say, that was good. It's an expression that comes as a result of taste. I really appreciate my wife's cakes. And after 45 years of married life, I've eaten quite a few of them. And they are proven to me to be good. So if we have visitors, I can quite easily say to them, taste and see. I know it's going to be a good cake. And when I put that piece of cake into my mouth, I don't sort of think, I wonder if this is going to be okay or not. I just put it readily to my mouth, because I know from experience that the taste will be good. And that is like our experience with God. We look back over many years of walking in the way with God, and we have been unfaithful, sadly, in our wanderings. But one thing we know is that God has been good, and God has been faithful, and God has been true, and God has been perfect in all his ways. But when we speak about here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, we also need to speak about the problem of when we taste something bitter, because our first reaction is to expel it out of our mouth. If we are tasting something bad for us, then, of course, this is the wisest course of action to take, not to swallow. But something bitter may not always be bad for us. So, for example, medicine. And sometimes God's medicine for us is bitter, but it's good for us. You know, some fruit, without added refined sugar, is very sharp to our taste. I've got a grandson that can eat lemons without even moving his eyes and without any sugar or anything, just straight in. And it, evidently it is better for it to be, such fruit to be eaten that way. So when David says, taste and see that the Lord is good, he does not mean all we experience is pleasurable. He says the Lord is good. He's not saying every experience is pleasurable. Remember, when David said these words, he was shut up in Cave Adullam. It was all dark. And he had fled from Saul. He'd fled from King Achish of Gath. He was in his cave. But a remarkable thing happened in that cave. Many people were gathering to David in that cave. Why were they gathering to David? Because he was a believer. Because he was a man that trusted in God. And they looked to him with respect. And there was something that attracted these people to David. Something about his testimony. Well, when David says then, taste and see that the Lord is good, he does not mean all we experience under God's permissive will be pleasurable. Some of it will be, praise the Lord. But there's a balance. God, as it were, balances the clouds. Whether it is a pleasurable experience, you are knowing today, or whether it is a bitter experience, you are knowing in your life today, the Lord himself is always good. That is the key here. For example, conviction of sin is a painful experience, but it comes because the Lord is good and has a blessed purpose for you. Correction of our backsliding is painful, but it comes to us because the Lord is good and he has a blessed purpose for you. Paul speaks of this in his letter to the Hebrews, wherein he says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyful, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God's permitted affliction and trial is painful, but it is allowed because the Lord is good. David said elsewhere, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. And Paul speaks of this in the New Testament, when he pleaded with the Lord earnestly for his trial to be taken away. And concerning this thing, he said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and all your circumstances, all things are working together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. But why emphasize this truth this morning about the pleasurable and the painful experiences in which the Lord remains good? Because so much of today's Christianity teaches that the Lord is only good when everything is going well for you. That God is only smiling upon you, that God is only good to you when you have good health, you have good wealth, you have a lovely house, and you have a great car, and you have great holidays, and you're able to dress very fashionably, and you feel good about yourself. That is what we call prosperity gospel teaching. But in these difficult days in which we live, the shallowness of such teaching has been shown to be empty and shallow and without comfort. The people who have suffered the virus and been bereaved, they need something solid. They need something worthwhile. They need something real. They need something true. They need a God that's with them in the grief and in the sorrow and in the pain and in the affliction. This is our God, and he is good in all circumstances of life. On Thursday at the prayer meeting, Brother Daniel read the Beatitudes. This is the most remarkable statement which speaks about the characteristics of the Christian. And we have this teaching here very clearly. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That doesn't seem very uplifting way to start your sermon, does it? Blessed are the poor in spirit. But theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see the contrast here. The Lord remains good. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord is good. Blessed are they of the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The Lord is good. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And this is a really key verse here. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So Jesus is saying that the persecuted ones are actually blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Lord is good. And this is what I want us to really think about this morning. That whatever the Lord has permitted in your life this morning, if you are trusting in him, never ever move from this rock of truth that the Lord is good, the Lord loves you, the Lord cares for you, and the Lord will never leave you and nor forsake you. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is perfect. He is holy. He is just. He is faithful. He is love. He is the God of all grace. He is the God who is long-suffering toward you. He's patient toward you. He will provide for you in his wise way. He has wise purposes. Blessed is the man who trusts in him then. The word blessed here has the meaning to be divinely favored of God. It means more than just to be happy, as the world would understand happiness. It means that you're actually on a higher plane. That even though your life might be going through a real struggle at the moment, you can be a blessed person. This is true Christianity, because it rises above the circumstances and focuses upon your relationship with God, and therein you find your comfort. Divinely favored you are with forgiveness of sin in Jesus Christ. Divinely favored with the privilege of being able to call God your heavenly Father. Divinely favored to come to God as your Father in heaven through Jesus the Son. Divinely favored with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the new nature. Divinely favored to be given a desire and a taste for the Word of God. This is amazing grace. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Now, to trust here means that you have your whole being dependent upon the Lord. Your whole life is dependent upon the Lord. We read this morning about Peter walking on the water by faith. He's overwhelmed with fear and he begins to sink. Lord, save me, was his cry. This was a cry of total dependence. His whole life depended upon the Lord Jesus. And David himself, in the account, in his experience with King Achish, he had trusted in his own ingenuity. He'd behaved as a madman. But on reflection, he realizes that in his folly, he's come to marvel at the overruling mercy of God in his life. So here this morning we learn the importance of trusting in the Lord. We can only be blessed this morning as we trust in the Lord. Listen to David's testimony in his psalm of thanksgiving towards the end of his life. He's nearly reached the end of his pilgrimage. And his life had had many ups and downs. And this is what he says. As for God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Here is a man who has proved the Lord and his word to be good. Oh yes, David had had many ups and downs in his life. But one thing he knows, dear friends, that the Lord is good and eternally so. And in this sin-sick world, this world of turmoil, this world of uncertainty, this world of which we know will be in a deep recession, and many things that we thought were secure will be removed from us. One thing I know, that God is faithful, and he is a shield to all who trust in him. Here is a man who has proved the Lord and his word to be good. He knows the Lord is good and eternally so. And later on, just as he came towards the very end of his life, he wrote some words which are so helpful and encouraging for us. I don't know about you, but in these past 4 months, it's been a time of deep reflection. deep examination of the heart, and I look back over on my ministry, and so much of it has been mixed up with pride, mixed up with me. And it's caused deep grief in the heart. But I was greatly encouraged with the words of David, and this is what he said in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure, sure. For this is all my salvation, and this is all my desire. Oh, dear friends, this is their security. He's made with me an everlasting covenant, and God is faithful, and he will keep his promise. He will not leave you or forsake you. Well, as we come to conclusion, I exhort you this morning, trust in the Lord at all times, you people. I was told of a man once in Romania who was carrying a very important document in a briefcase. And he asked God to protect him, that no one would steal his briefcase. And having gone to the destination, to the door, he knocked on the door of this person with whom he was designated to make this important delivery. And as he was waiting at the door for the door to be answered, he said, Lord, thank you. But at the same time, he said to himself, now I'm okay, I can manage. And as he was waiting at the door for the door to be answered, a man came along the road and he sneaked up behind him and ran off with his case. And the issue here is, the story here is, and what the lesson to be learnt here is, that we must trust in the Lord at all times, you people. There's never a time when we can say to the Lord, I'm okay now, Lord. It's okay. You've got me this far, and now I can make it on my own, like the man with the case. There's never a time. Trust in the Lord at all times. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And one of the lessons we can learn from the current crisis and the present challenges is found in the relevant wisdom of God's word to us this morning. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. That's one of the great lessons to learn at this time. And another lesson, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. And so this is David's testimony here this morning to us as a believer, a testimony which many of you here can affirm. There may be one or two here this morning that have not reached that stage where you are truly trusting in the Lord. And David says, look, from experience, I'm inviting you, I'm encouraging you, I'm exhorting you. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You will know the Lord is good, but you must taste and see, you must come unto the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ just as you are. You must taste of God's full and free forgiveness, of God's wonderful grace, of God's wonderful love to needy sinners. There was an atheist once who was holding a meeting denouncing Christianity. And at the end of the meeting, he asked if there was any questions. And an old man got up from the back and he walked all the way to the front and he was peeling and eating an orange. And when he got to the front, he asked the atheist speaker what was his opinion about the orange he was eating. And the atheist, he replied in a disdainful manner, how should I know? I've not tasted it. That, said the old man, is exactly your problem with the Christian faith. You are denouncing something you have never tasted, and therefore you cannot speak from experience. But David could speak from experience, friends. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him.